grace is an interesting word in English. One can grace the cover of Vogue or Essence or Rolling Stone or Sports Illustrated. One can, if lucky, have a grace period before which time a payment is due. Perhaps your family says a grace as an act of giving thanks before a meal. Or maybe you are a person who has been given the gift of being graceful. You move through the world with elegance and ease. But the grace that is intriguing me this holiday season is the grace of the smallest acts of courteous goodwill. The moments of compassion and kindness when we aren't trying to be. We simply are. And at a deeper level, these moments, these acts shift more than the moment.
Viktor Frankl was a white Jewish Austrian man. He was a neurologist and a psychiatrist, as well as a Holocaust survivor. His book, A Man's Search for Meaning, chronicles his experiences as a concentration camp inmate, which led him to discover the importance of finding meaning in forms of existence, even the most brutal ones, and has a deep impact on me. Though he wrote in the male-centric language of his time, a particular passage I find meaningful is this. Frankl writes, "I may have given the impression that the human being is completely and unavoidably influenced by his surroundings. In this case, the surroundings being the unique structure of camp life, which forced the prisoner to conform his conduct to a certain set pattern. But what about humanity, or what about human liberty? Is there no spiritual freedom in regard to behavior and reaction to any given surroundings? Is that theory, which would have us believe that man is no more than a product of many conditional and environmental factors, be they of biological, psychological, or a sociological nature? Is man but an accidental product of these? Most important, do the prisoner's reactions to the singular world of the concentration camp prove that man cannot escape the influence of his surroundings? Does man have no choice of action in the face of such circumstances? We can answer these questions from experience as on principle. The experience of camp life show that man does have a choice of action. There were enough examples, often of heroic nature, which proved that apathy could be overcome. Irritability suppressed. Man can preserve a vestige of spiritual freedom, of independence of mind, even in such terrible conditions of psychic and physical stress." Dr. Frankl continues, "We who lived in concentration camps can remember the men who walked through the huts comforting others, giving away their last piece of bread. They may have been few in number, but they offer sufficient proof that everything can be taken from a man but one thing, the last of human freedoms, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances, to choose one's own way. And there are always choices to make. Every day, every hour offered the opportunity to make a decision which determined whether, whether you would or would not submit to those powers which threaten to rob you of your very self, your inner freedom, which determined whether or not you would become a plaything of circumstances, renouncing freedom and dignity to become molded into the form of the typical inmate." So ends the reading. It can be easy to feel a little blah this time of year. When Reverend Wendy and I met to discuss this service, I was reminded that it's important for me to pay attention to things going on around me, to seek moments of beauty and grace, wherever I may be. Here are two examples. My family and I went to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade a few years ago, and we were on the corner of 46th Street and 5th Avenue with several hundred other people. It was a chilly day, and the parade is a big deal, and there are lots and lots of people there. And it can be easy to be a bit cranky, particularly with the lack of coffee and the hour we had to get up. What I observed, though, was that some people did not have the attire to fit the weather. Others had extra blankets and even hot cocoa, which they shared with those that needed them. And as the floats went by, people helped to lift up children, whether it was theirs or someone else's, who couldn't see. It was beautiful to see the connections that people made. Cross country is my favorite sport my sons do. My sons Gabe, Aiden, and Finn do. One of the first meets I went to, the last runner was coming in and their teammates were cheering them on and calling out their name. And then the other runners from other teams started to join in until most of the athletes were cheering on the last athlete of the race. These athletes were no longer on separate teams, but were all just runners encouraging and appreciating the accomplishment of running, of a runner finishing the race. These moments of grace remind me that I am not the center of the universe. That when we act together and offer kindness to one another, it connects us.
These moments are around us all the time. When I wrote to him to ask him about any examples of simple or bizarre grace, Kevin O'Connor, member of this congregation and executive director of Joseph's House and Shelter, which is the recipient of our special collection today, mentioned that he himself did not nominate nor vote for Joseph's House when we had our vote a few months ago, which I find to be graceful in and of itself. Two thoughts Kevin wrote in response to my question about observing grace were this. A neighborhood group that unsuccessfully tried to block our proposal to build housing for the homeless years ago now joins us in our annual walk to end homelessness. As part of the annual walk, the neighborhood group includes the shelter staff in their traditional posada, a recreation of Mary and Joseph's attempt to find room in the inn. Their act is one of redemption and love for a group they previously feared and loathed. And his second example was of a person who was chronically homeless, repeatedly put his new housing in jeopardy by taking in other street homeless persons to live with him, which infuriated his landlord. His empathy and generosity for his peers belies a deep kindness that frustrates the rest of us. Each moment we have the opportunity to connect or deflect, complain or make a difference, notice the wonder and beauty of the season, or only see what's wrong or missing. Which will we choose? Yesterday, at Homemade Holidays, I witnessed so many acts of grace, I could stand here for an hour and tell you about them. I won't, but I could. Adults and children gathered in the dining room to make crafts. Osos or God's eyes, little nature ornaments, stuffed pillows and tote bags, pipe cleaner trees, beeswax candles, paper chains, wreaths and bows, little pine cone gnomes and clothespin reindeer, wrapping paper and cards and gift bags to decorate, and of course, treats. People just jumped in. They set up their tables and helped everyone who came along. Everyone. Kids helping each other, kids guiding adults, adults asking for assistance and offering it. Children shooing parents and siblings away so they could make a gift. And one of those parents offering to help us print the order of service for today. We gathered here for the sake of creating, for the opportunity to learn, for the chance to be together. And right there, through some bizarre grace, in a crowded room, I felt myself held up, buoyed by an unbidden and unplanned force of humanity. I felt the presence of the holy. Right there, in the messy, glue sticks and greens, felt and paper, beeswax and yarn, ribbons and bows, cider and sugar. And there, in the midst of vibrant, slightly chaotic life, I felt held. As we wend our way through December, may we remember to choose where to place our attention, to notice the acts of simple and even bizarre grace, and to let our hearts grow at least 3 sizes when we realize we's all family now. May it be so. Amen, and blessed be.